Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go.
I think it was because you hit too many buttons last night. Number two got you in trouble.
Good evening, everybody.
There's our echo.
There's the echo. And you know, whether we hit too many buttons last night or not, we got mission accomplished. And you know, we've learned a lot here doing this. And the good folks that just are with us, like, yeah, come on, we can learn that too. I remember how we used to say, Lord, give us an answer. We need an answer. We need, help us see something we don't see. And then somebody said, have you ever tried Zoom? And I'm like, no. And my goodness, this Zoom has been amazing blessing of what we've been able to get accomplished with it. And you ain't seen nothing yet. We're going to do more and more and more with it because it has so much capability. And don't let Zoom hear me say it, but it's only like $120 for the whole year.
Yep.
I mean,
it pays for itself.
It pays for itself big time. And
it's a good investment.
You think about my dad. I remember them talking in the house. I remember. He wanted to go live on the radio station in Tawas or Oscoda or wherever it was over there then. And it was going to cost $700.
Yeah, isn't that something in that?
For one Sunday morning service, like a half an hour. $700. Now, that's back when $700 was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And $700 is nothing to sneeze at today, but...
Right.
You know, I would have been a child, so that would have been in the 70s. $700, you could buy a whole new car, couldn't you?
Hi, John.
John Wayner.
Good to have you with us.
Welcome, brother. How's things in Florida tonight?
Speaking of which.
It's so good to have you back, John.
It is.
It just is. It's good to have you here, man.
So happy to have you with us.
And all y'all we don't see ever, but I would tell you it's good to have you with us. Just check in sometime. Check in. And you don't have to talk. You don't have to be like Mary and Sunday when they get together. I can't get a word in edgewise.
Hello.
You buddy.
Hey.
I'm not telling Mary.
I love you, Sunday. Let's pray for Mary right now. Father, in Jesus' name, do you have an update, love?
I've not heard since.
In Jesus' name, we lift up Mary right now. I don't know why we say it that way, but in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak over Don and Mary, Pastor. Don, we speak life and life more abundantly to you now in Jesus' name. COVID, bow to the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Right now, bow to the name of Jesus. You must bow. Every knee must bow to the name of Jesus. It's not the name of Sam. It's not the name of the community of faith. You must bow to the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve. And we stand, all of us stand, in the blood and in the righteousness of Jesus right here, right now. And we command you, lose your grip in Don and Mary's life in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name,
mighty
of, Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
And we give you glory, Father. And we give you the honor because you are great. You are great. how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth and Samuel and Leanne and Dan and Sunday and Brother John with the Holy Spirit in power. And we go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Victory for Don and Mary, Pastor Rick, in every area. Because we know you've spoken. Thank you, Lord, that this body of believers were a witness to the night that Don said, I believe.
I believe, yes, amen.
Changed kingdoms on the spot with one declaration. I believe. And on that day when he crosses to the other side, his entrance will be grand into eternal life. And thank you that this body of believers had a part in that conversion.
Amen.
And anybody else that's there, we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't you love it?
Mm-hmm.
Why would anybody want to be religious?
Or an
and just act religious and just act like you're something, but you don't know God. My goodness sakes alive, get to know God. You didn't have to go, Sunday. We really want you to stay.
She might be going over to YouTube. She likes YouTube. Thank you for your agreement and prayer, John.
Thank you, Brother John.
So appreciate it.
Don and Mary are such wonderful people.
Yeah.
Been a part of this program since. Wow.
Almost since it started.
I remember the night that Mary showed up.
Yeah, Mary and Pastor Rick. That's right. I forgot about that. Until you said it.
Good evening, Mary and Pastor Rick. No. It's Mary, Pastor Rick. It's my last name. Oh. Well, you know, here's the funny side of that story. I know lots of pastors who will have a Facebook account like that with their wife's name first. And then their name in there like that because it's something that not everybody can search and find and make a big deal of them. It gives them access to be able to see what people are doing. So they make names like that. I know of that myself.
Uh-huh.
And it was awesome to see, have Mary come on and say, no, that's just me. Welcome back, huh? Glad to have you here with us tonight.
Just chuckles on her way in the door. Here I am again.
You know, we got to find you like an Apple tablet or something that won't kick you out.
No. I don't like apples.
Did you actually, what, you like oranges or something?
Well, I like fruit in general, but not computers like apples.
I am going to get Sister Leanne trained yet to love this Apple computer.
Okay.
She's going, good luck with that. Yeah.
You're forgetting when a woman's got her mind made up.
There's never been a truer statement than that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Brother Hagin said, it's just like cement, thoroughly mixed up and too well set.
That's it, right there.
Woo! And if you're not used to this much fun, get used to it because it's more funner than this sometimes. But
we just try.
Yes. Hallelujah. You know, what an amazing opportunity this is. Matter of fact, right when we were getting, when Charity Gale was finishing singing, I'll pause in my story. I'm getting ready to tell you a story. It just happened. But for everybody that's with us, we have two worship situations going on here in the church. And I want you to be a part of it. We do worship at 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Well, every day just about. We even hit Sunday sometime. But Monday through Saturday. What it is a playlist in YouTube that all of us can listen to at the same time while you're getting your supper ready and taking your shower, whatever you do after work. And all of us can worship to the same songs. And we go in and we move the songs around most times. I haven't moved mine around in a while. But and it makes it a time of worship that you can have. Now, we're not asking you to close the door and turn the lights down and light some candles, you know, put incense on. We're not telling you to do that. If we all play the same playlist, then we all worship with the same song.
Yeah.
And we all come here to the program having worshiped in the same song. Now, so right when we got done, so we've been doing that now for 2 years almost, year and a half probably, maybe 2 years anyways. And then at the beginning of this year, the Holy Spirit instructed me to begin to have worship for like 20 minutes before we begin our evening program and in the morning program. So that if you had a long day and you just couldn't get to anything else, you can show up here and enjoy some worship and get your heart calmed and settled in for the program. Get your heart open and just deal with all the issues of the day and get them in their proper spot. And then when we come in with the word, now your life is open and the soil of your heart is open. And we can plant that seed right down in the soil of your heart, the seed of God's word. So tonight we had Jerry, and it's amazingly anointed. It is called, in case you want to go to it, it is called... I didn't ask you to start. It's called Charity Gale Live at Free Chapel. And it has four songs in it in one video. It's 26 minutes long. As soon as you play it once, you're going to play it all the time. It's just one of them songs. Anyways, I got up from here right at the end. Go get me a glass of water before the program starts. And as I walked out the door here, I saw our studio. Crystal clear. And it was big and open and...
Wow. That would be wonderful.
Filled with all the technology. People were standing all over in there. It's part of the team. I saw it.
Well, hallelujah.
Well, how do we get there, Pastor? We just keep doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Sow a seed into everybody's studio. You hear about them saying we need a studio, sow some seed into it. And then in a dream, in a vision of the night or day, God speaks to you and reveals what it is that's got you stuck. That's what that verse says. Mm-hmm. God speaks one way or another, but man don't get it. However, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep comes upon you, you're slumbering on your bed, God seals your instruction within you and moves you away from pride. I love these verses because you and I can say, Jesus, take me in. And Job and Elihu, they didn't have all the distractions. Their biggest distraction is which field is our 77,000 camels in, you know, whatever the deal is. But our greatest challenge in this day is to shut down the noise and then enter in. The one rock and roll, gospel rock and roll band that my son Joshua listened to, I can't even tell you their name. I can tell you their name.
Gillett?
No. But they had the song. It was an amazing song. If we are adding to the noise, turn off the radio. They wrote a whole song saying it. If we, they're Christian singers. If we are adding to the noise of your life that keeps you from the presence of God, turn the radio off.
Yeah.
And he was one of the first to sing it. And you're like, if that isn't just the most amazing song I've ever heard, when have you ever heard anybody in the music industry say, if I'm the noise in your life, turn me off? That's an amazing statement. Anyways, so I saw the studio.
I love it.
So when is it coming? In my opinion, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once you see a picture in God, you got to write it out and then begin to speak it to come to pass in your life. Because everything in God is not automatic. Not even your Christian life. You didn't just get saved because Jesus wanted you saved. You got saved because you made a decision. And you opened the door and then he came in. You said, I receive you, and then he came in. You said, forgive me of my sins, and he did it. You said, fill me with your spirit, and he does. See, it all has an action of a human. And the philosophy, the Christian philosophy that says it's just up to God, let him do whatever he wants to do, that's just not in the Bible at all. God made himself dependent upon us. We can't do it without him, and he won't do it without us.
Amen.
Let's give you some announcements. Remember, this is January 18th, the third week of the month. We're fasting. We are? Okay, let me help everybody. If you haven't been fasting, then make a commitment to God right now. You'll fast your spinach or something. Father, I've been fasting my spinach all month long. You haven't been fasting nothing, it feels like. Remember, we'd like to do that at the beginning of the year because it gets you tuned up and ready for the year, but it's not just a hunger starvation fest. This isn't a hunger strike against God. Fasting is to get you to get in control of you. Right now, what we're fasting is Subways.
Oh, my.
I was talking with Brother John the other day, and he told me that that's what he's been eating lately is a Subway sandwich. I'm like, so guess what, John? We're fasting Subway sandwiches.
Wait, what?
Yes, the yoke. Hallelujah. So anyways, I encourage you. This year I've not been like, this is the fast, everybody do it, like I have other years, because the bottom line is, the reality about fasting is it's in the New Testament, the purpose of fasting is to get rid of the unbelief in your life. And as a pastor, I survive on Subway.
Well, that's a healthy thing to survive on, John.
You have to fast the bread and just eat the stuffings on the inside. Tell them to put it in a bowl
for you. Either wrap or flatbread, that's not bad. Or they do bowls now, actually, like protein bowls.
The bottom line is you fast what the Holy Spirit leads you into. And really, I would like to encourage everybody here to set a goal that once before Jesus shows up, that you do a 40-day fast. You go into another place in God that you've never been before. If you've never done an extended fast, then do one day where you don't do anything except drink water. You'll be surprised at the end of that day how God's Spirit is within you. Remember what he said, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. And then do a 3-day fast. You mean like with no food at all, Pastor? Yeah, you might be surprised what begins to change. You will be surprised what begins to change in your body. Hey, Audrey Van Gessen.
Hey, Audrey.
Peace to you, ma'am. It's good to see you. We love you and your family. We pray for you often. Thanks for being our partner and our friend. Now, so the fast is going on. Remember, Jesus is the one that talked about the fast in the New Testament. And he told the disciples, this kind of unbelief only comes out through prayer and fasting. And you can find that in Mark chapter 17. That's where Jesus is teaching that. And then the other thing that God's been saying to us since the beginning of the year is that, remember this, we are not Adam and Eve in the garden. We're not Abraham receiving the covenant. We are not David, you know, being the king. We're not the judges, the prophets. We're not even the post-resurrection disciples. Because all they were was deputized by Jesus. They weren't filled with the Spirit yet. You and I are the post-Calvary, post-resurrection, post-ascension, post-infilling of the Holy Spirit, mighty, awesome, wonderful body of Christ, filled with this Spirit, with the Word of God, not only in our hand in a Bible, in a book, but 27 translations that fit on this hard drive of your phone. Some of you might need to fast confusion and say, this year I will learn my phone and I will master it and I will no longer be afraid of it. When I first started learning the computer, my dear friend Bill Gilbert, God bless him, he was so patient to me. Bill Gilbert was a great computer guy, and he's a friend of mine. I'd say, Bill, I'm on a computer. Oh, no. He would say, if you just back away from the computer, nobody will get hurt. And I would say, Bill, I messed this computer up so bad that you can't fix it. He goes, that's impossible. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, I mean, you can't hit that many buttons. And he said, if nothing else, I'll just do a restore and we'll go back a couple of days. It'll be all right. And you know what? We never had to.
There's always a restore.
So I encourage you, lose your fear of the computer and your phone and begin to say, Jesus, help me enter in.
Yeah.
Help me see this so I can use all the technology that's available for me today without it controlling me and yet using it to grow and develop in you like I really need to grow and develop in you. Because you can't get to heaven on my faith, guys. You got to get to heaven on your faith. Now, let me give you a testimony. My mom called me this morning. Did anybody see Lance Wallnau's program this morning talking about the 700 things that the Supreme Court just did? You know what? I didn't look that up. I'll bet that's actually on. Maybe we should just let Lance tell us about it. Anyways, my mom gave me an amazing testimony on the phone today. Let's try this. I didn't even think about this, but you know what? We're getting closer to thinking about this every single time. Well, I guess I should have asked her what it is and where she saw it, because what she said has happened is all of these cases where they have used the lemon law against us and made laws saying you can't have the Ten Commandments in the schools and in your businesses and you know in all that and these people that pray on the ball field. What she said is that the Supreme Court has struck down for 700 of these.
Uh-huh.
700 of these. There we go. Let me just try this short and see if this is what it is. Everybody all right? Just chilling for a minute?
I'm good.
All right, we're just chilling.
Battery 30%.
Because I would really like to hear this, but maybe what we got to do is not do this and just go ahead and get into the word for tonight. But, you know, this is a powerful testimony we've got for. Well, that wasn't what we was looking for, and I'm not going to look any farther, but that was really good. I like that. God bless you, Lance, for standing up like you do and standing in faith. But anyways, here's the deal. They have struck down 700 of these rulings the Supreme Court has just done. And making it so you can get prayer back in school and Bible in school and the Ten Commandments back wherever you want them and putting another one of those punches in. Because thank God for President Trump that he got so busy getting judges in the right places.
Yeah.
And not only at the Supreme Court level, but at the next level down, he put those judges in there that really, really make a difference in these rulings. And so thank God for that. And, you know, that just lets us know our prayers are working. You want to say it with me? Remove every person who's a liar in politics.
Amen.
Pastor, there won't be anybody left. I know it. I know it. But guess what? The house will be clean, and Jesus will stand there in the rotunda and say, finally got them all out of here. And let's bring in the next group and watch God do a mighty work in Jesus' name. What else we got? Oh,
hi, Rebecca. I love you.
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome. I know that you just kind of chickened out tonight and wouldn't come talk because you were afraid I was going to talk about how much women talk. Hey, wait. If you're just listening to this video saying, what is up with Pastor? I was laughing, truly heartfelt laughter, as I was joking with Sister Rebecca. Now, next week, starting on the 23rd, Monday, we're going to begin doing the book of Revelation, all right? And we'll be doing probably two sessions a night, all week long. That'll make 12 sessions by Saturday. And we'll be studying it with Dr. Hilton Sutton. Get you guys a curriculum. They do not seem to be out there. They just don't seem to be out there. So. I got some phone calls in, and we'll just see what we come up with. Maybe we can find something to give you a download so you can get some of this other information. But if nothing else, study the videos with us. and it'll be a blessing. The more you lose fear of the enemy who's already been defeated by Jesus, the more powerful your life becomes in God.
Amen.
Do you remember what the Holy Spirit said to Paul to Timothy? God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Amen.
But what did he give us? Power, love, and a sound mind. He washed away our sins, threw them in the sea of forgetfulness, so you don't ever have to worry about it anymore. And then gave you all of his righteousness to live by.
Thank you, Lord.
And he makes you a new creation. Once we get that done, now we got to get our cabeza filled with the Word of God, which is what we do here on a regular basis in Jesus' mighty name. So, Book of Revelation, we're going to study that all next week. I'm going to do my best to find a way to make it so we can share it publicly. But if I can't, I'm going to tell you, I need some of you to decide this week, I will not let technology overpower my life any longer. I will make this thing submit and figure out how to use Zoom. Why? Because I need you inside of Zoom. I know I can share the video in Zoom with you to share it on YouTube. I don't know that I can. And you really want to study these videos with Dr. Sutton about the Book of Revelation and get this great understanding of no fear.
No.
Isn't that cool? We do not have to be afraid. There is no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. And besides that, there's just no reason to be afraid. And when you're done with your day, just remember, there's no reason to be afraid. I don't know if I got that through to us yet. There's no reason to have any fear. And I remember the day I said, that's it. I will learn this technology and I will master this so that I can go to another level in God. And I've been doing it in the last 3 weeks here, going to a whole new level in God. But guess what? On the other side of the frustration of not knowing how is the most amazing blessing of God. So whenever you find yourself in any way hesitating because you just don't know how to do it, immediately start pushing in that area and push hard. Why? Because then God helps you get through. God can't move until you move. I can hear the religious. Yes, he can. He's God. He can do anything he wants. Well, he is God. And let's put it this way. He can do anything that he didn't commit himself not to do. But God gave us the word and said, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. He's not going to do anything outside of that. I know.
Amen.
I can tell. I got some show me's. I can't right now. I got to get to the program. Let's do this. Our theme for this year is 2023, it's time to reap for me. And the me is in capital letters and quotations. That means it's time to reap for God. You can find this in John 4, 34 through 38, where he says, the fields are white unto harvest. You guys, if Jesus was saying then that the fields are white unto harvest, then how much more whiter, I don't know if you like that terminology or not, how much more whiter are those same fields right now that says you and I got to get up and get busy in the things of God. Do not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. That's one of the biggest problems people have is they don't look at the field to see if there's anybody that's hungry, anybody that needs Jesus around them. He who reaps receives wages. He who reaps the harvest receives wages from God. Wouldn't you think God would be the best employer there is?
Yeah.
Reap some souls. And you not only receive wages, and you gather fruit for eternal life. And what does that do but put jewels in your crown that you will take off your head and lay at the feet of Jesus when we kneel before him and say, you alone are worthy of all the glory and the honor and the praise of what I was able to do in your name. Both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together, for in this saying it is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. This is the story of the Samaritan woman that Jesus was not supposed to be talking to. A Jewish man was not even supposed to be talking to a Samaritan woman. How low can you go, Jesus? You see, God sent Jesus there that day to deal with prejudice, one against women and another one against the Samaritans. And he came out of that. Jesus came out of there with the ability to judge other cities, because those in the city of Samaria, they received him. And then he can go to the other cities and say, Samaria, receive me, but you're not. Now change. And Jesus said to Jerusalem, if you don't change, you're going to miss the day of your visitation.
You don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear that statement. Don't miss the day of your visitation. So that's our theme for the year. We're going to be studying harvesting souls all year long. You're going to hear me challenging you, encouraging you, you know, helping you see, go after the folks, wherever they may be, go after them. Why? Because Jesus wants to touch their lives. And he's probably going to use you to get out there and go get somebody born again. Now, you might say, yeah, but Pastor, I'm not good like you. It isn't about being good. What we learn is how to flow with the wisdom and the knowledge that we have gathered and brought inside, fought for, meditated in. When you need it, it just begins to flow out of you like you never thought would even be possible. Even sitting here like this in teaching you guys. Every time we're here, God gives me something I don't know. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I've learned to just speak it out of my mouth. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. And I only say what I hear my Father say. Now that word only, I can't tell you that I feel like I had an only position in my life. But I'm sure working to get there. And it is a very important place to get to. Because if we're speaking only the will of God, what he actually wants for us, it will come.
Amen.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' mighty name. Any questions? Any answers? All right. So, next week, starting on the 23rd, we're going to begin doing the book of Revelation. And that's Monday night. So get yourself ready. Might do you good to go to read the word. Go all the way through the book of Revelation. All the videos that's there. And spend some time just meditating in the book of Revelation. Here's the thing. If you do that, when Dr. Sutton starts teaching it, it'll be connecting inside of you going, oh yeah, wow. Because there's a whole lot of those wow moments with Dr. Hilton Sutton.
Yeah.
He had given himself his life to 60 years of studying the book of Revelation, well, the prophetic verses of the Bible. And it's a powerful time. Anything else? I feel like there's something else I should say. Take a drink of coffee. All right, I'm going to say this. Remember, if you're having a dream, every dream you have when you wake up, write it out. Speak it out. Open up your phone. Hit that record button and put it into words that you can go back and listen to again. Because you know what happens the next time you hear it? He gives you more. And the next time you hear it, he gives you more.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're going to have the whole picture of what that dream was really all about. And some of them, you're going to be like, that was the most interesting whatever was that. But there's some of the rest of this, just like a minute ago when I walked out the door to get my glass of water. I saw the studio, just like that. I saw the studio.
Awesome.
Cameras hanging there and sitting over there and over there. There's nothing as fun as being in a room where they're getting ready to broadcast TV and watching everything that's going on. You just kind of sit there for the first, 3 months you see it. You're like, wow, look at them guys. Look at them guys. It's an amazing thing to see what goes on behind the scenes. Can you imagine what the angels are doing behind the scene right now?
Oh, my.
The other night, Sister Leanne and I, she took me out to the truck to go driving, and while we were sitting there letting the truck warm up, Angel walked right by the window behind her. We both saw him.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Come back. My hair was like standing on end. But God's working behind the scenes in ways you can't even imagine. Thank God for it. Well, you ready? Here we go. We're going to go tonight to Joshua chapter 4, and we're going to finish reading about the conquest of Jericho. Sunday, we preached a message called Of Whom the World Was Not Worthy. Now, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, Hebrews chapter 11, and that's verses 26 through, no, that's verses 30 through 40, and then Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. So Hebrews 11, 30 through 12, 3. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to us about what faith does. When you get to Hebrews 11, 38, it says, of whom the world was not worthy. Speaking of the men and women of God of faith who lived their whole life in faith. Well, why wouldn't the world be worthy of them? Because they were people that simply looked God in the eye and said, I trust you. And the world doesn't trust. And many people in the world refuse to trust. And because they refuse to trust, their lives are never blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. They might have enough fire insurance to get into heaven, but that would be all that it would be. And this verse says, of whom the world is not worthy. So the Holy Spirit said, go back and grab some of them and read their stories out of the Old Testament, out of the Bible. And let's just read what these men did. Joshua. We read on Monday night, last night we read it. Joshua sent the spies. They went to Jericho, and they met Rahab the harlot, and she hid them so that they could spy out the land, the city, and find out what it's all about. And really what God sent those two spies in there here was they sent them in there to hear Rahab say, when God parted the Red Sea, all of us were extremely afraid immediately. Mm-hmm. And there's no courage left within us. We saw what you did to Sion and Og, those kings over there. You wiped them out. Here you are. Can you imagine three people coming across the desert at you? 3 million people?
3 million, yeah.
With all of their livestock and wagons and the temple and everything that they plundered Egypt. I mean, Jericho was built on a hill, and it had high walls. So they can stand up on those walls and see them coming for a long ways, mm-hmm. and be like, oh, Jesus, it's all over. Look at the magnitude of those people that's there. And you could hear the king. The only thing we can do is just shoot as many as we can. We'll slow them down for the next that he's going to get here, but there's no way we can overpower them.
Right.
Well, little did he know, there wasn't even going to be no arrow fired. Why? Because God was going to deal with them. That's how God wants to be with every one of us if we'll let him be big. Have you ever noticed as a human that you have a hard time letting God be big? Well, I'm preaching better than you're staring and being silent. So don't stare or be silent. Say amen. Brother Roger, anybody contact Brother Roger yet?
I did.
All right. Brother Roger, we love you. We miss you. Arrive thyself.
Amen.
And Joshua chapter 3. No. Joshua chapter 4. Or did we read that last night?
Oh, we did read that last night.
We did. It's 5 and 6 that we're on.
Yeah.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Ripley, you can't just sleep on the couch all the time, buddy. Yes, I can. I'm a dog. Here we go. Joshua chapter 5. The second generation is circumcised. Oh, Lord.
Whoops.
Amen, John. Amen, amen, amen. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Now, I got a word for you, straight from the Word of God. Not only did God do that for them, God is doing that for you and me. Look at what it says. When all the kings of the Amorites, so that's a wicked nation, on the west side of the Jordan, all right, so here's the Jordan flowing like this, and they're on the west side, mm-hmm. and over here's the east side. Am I saying that right? No, I'm not.
Depends on which way you're facing.
The sun always rises in the east and sets in the west. So wait, let's bring it around. And when you get to Israel. No, I said it backwards. Let's read. Would somebody just read the Bible here for a minute, please?
Yeah, probably tells in there.
What's important about this program is that you learn anybody can do this. You just got to let God be God and keep at it. So here we go. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 1. We're actually going to read the words that's on the page. It's a very wise thing to do.
Find out all kinds of things.
It's amazing what happens when you actually read the Bible. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of Jordan. All right, that's the Jericho side. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea. That's clear over by the sea, so that's way west. All right? Heard that the Lord dried up the waters of Jordan before the children of Israel until we crossed over, that their heart was melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Now watch. Why is that verse in the Bible? The question you're supposed to answer. I want you to think about this. God dried up the Red Sea and freaked every nation out. Why? Because the center, one of the main altars for Baal worship was right on the seashore where Moses crossed the Red Sea. God took them to the height of the wicked temple outdoor worship place of Baal and crossed the water right there. So when that happened, all of the world saw Israel leave Egypt and said, we are in trouble because God promised the children of Israel that they could have this land. And all the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Egyptites and all the Ites were like, they're coming for us. And God just parted the water and here they come. And there's nothing we can do about them. They are going to wipe us out. Look what it says, that their hearts melted. There was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. But Israel sinned and died for 40 years in the wilderness. So God wanted to remind all the nations of the world, I am still the God of all of the earth, including the water. So if you thought it was something that I dried up the water of the Red Sea, let's dry up the Jordan at flood stage. Huh? And he did. And so what's that do? That word immediately spreads through all of the nations. And the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all of the Ites who were at times fight each other, now are looking saying, uh-oh, they're coming. We better band together because they're going to destroy us. Well, that word spread across that land in an amazing quick hurry that God just parted the waters of Jordan. Oh, no.
We are in trouble.
Wait, who went to the Valley of Ono? That was Nehemiah. And he said, don't go out to the Valley of Ono with Ono. Verse 2. Joshua 5, 2. I'm proud of myself. I made it through one whole verse. Can I get a big amen? The great amen. Or maybe, and I love the word. How about it, Rebecca?
I love the word.
Guess what, Rebecca?
What?
We love you.
Love you guys too.
The pizza, ice, and Yoko Ono, here they come.
Yoko Ono.
Oh, goodness sakes. Don't worry. It's just part of the fun of growing and developing in God. All right, we made it to verse. Go ahead.
I'm the heckler in the back
pew. Usher, take her out, please, and instructor. Here we go. Verse number 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. Oh, Lord. Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. They even named a hill after it. Bless you, Audrey. Love you. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they'd come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed. Look at that verb, were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God. Just obey him. Remember what Job says? It says in Job, if we obey and serve him, we'll live our days in plenty and our years in pleasure. Isaiah 1, if you are willing and obedient, you get to eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you are devoured by the sword. Oh, no. Just learn to walk with God. Keep going, preacher. They were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land, which the Lord has sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Why? God looked at him in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 and said, these 10 times you have rebelled against me. God had them counted. 10 times rebellion caused them to wander in the wilderness. Don't mark up any more rebellions in your life.
No, no kidding.
Just willingly walk with God every day of your life.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. All right? 7, then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their places. Look at that. He is capitalized. Circle it in your Bible. God is raising up their sons.
Yeah.
God's like, I'm killing that whole bunch, but watch me in 40 years make another whole bunch just like them. Must be where...
Hopefully these behave.
Nah, because they had not been circumcised on the way. Verse 8. So it was when they finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp until they were healed. How many of you know that is a really big thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal to this day. I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Now, let me just do something real quick here. I got to look up a verse, but it'll be a good one, I do believe. On that day, God said, I have rolled away the reproach of Israel. Does anybody know where to find Zephaniah? Is that a book of the Bible?
Before Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. Yes, towards the end.
I got it. Just like that. God said, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Let's keep going. 10. The children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the plains of Jericho. You notice that God changed the name from the hill of foreskins to I've rolled away the reproach. There's quite a few times in our lives when we got to go ahead and let God rename what we have named a portion of our life.
Yeah.
I've said this to many times here in the program, but I'll say it again right now. If you have been divorced, quit saying, I am a divorcee. That is an event that happened on one day. And you either got to make it right or you got to keep moving. Well, no, let me say it differently. You got divorced probably because you couldn't get it made right. You've got to get in line with God and say, help me. Help me rename what has happened to me. Why? He's the God of restoration. You and I are the ones that live in the pain of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't help God. And that most definitely is not going to allow you to become what God wants you to be. I saw this earlier tonight. I'm like, I can tell I was going to have to say this. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. What's that mean, Pastor? That means there's somebody here tonight that you've been battling with this thing. There wasn't anything you could do. No way you was going to make it work. There was no way it could come together. Tried everything you could try. Let it go. Let it go. Quit blaming yourself. Heaven will reveal it all. It's already behind you. There ain't no sense of living back there in them days. Another day. Amen. Sister Lance just said, forgetting those things which are in the past and moving forward to the things in the future. Some of you have said, I'll never trust another woman another day of my life. Some of you have said, I'll never trust another man another day of my life. And God's up in heaven with a perfect mate for you. But you're flapping your lips and speaking against what he's trying to get done in your life. I'm not sure if I'm real bold or just in a fighting mood tonight, right? But it doesn't matter. No, come on.
I just wonder why that's funny. Why is that funny?
why is it funny that God's got a man for you that you don't want? I wasn't talking about you, Rebecca.
You started laughing like crazy.
Well, you know how it is. We make statements about our life. But usually they're made in pain and in fear. Well, that's not faith. That's not God. So that statement's not from God, even though you're living on it. Get yourself into that place where you're actually in faith. And what are you going to do? Somebody was talking to me the other day about somebody died. And they're like, Pastor, if we could have, we'd have raised him from the dead. I'm like, I know. And they're like, but they didn't raise him to death. I'm like, I know. And they're like, so why are we worried about it? I'm like, I know. You can't go there. What are you going to do with a dead past? You spend all your time and energy on that.
And it keeps you from moving forward where God wants you.
And you can't do anything. What are you going to do? Pastor, I believe in resurrection. So do I. Has it happened? No. How long has it been? 37 years. It probably isn't going to happen. Jesus, help us tonight. This is a good program. God said to Joshua, I have rolled away the reproach. Everybody say it. God, roll it away.
God, rule it away.
I will let go of it.
I will let go of it.
I will let go of it.
Now,
there he goes again.
Let's read a few more verses before I make this statement I was just getting ready to make. I'm not sure whether that was from the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm going to say it. Because Joshua circumcised all the men. They threw that into a hill. And it was rolled away. Everybody pay attention. It was cut off, gone, and the memory was not there anymore. That memory healed in 3 days. See, See what happens? Is we end up holding on to that stuff back there. Moses said, let's go in there. Like, we want leeks and onions. We had fish and flesh pots. They were given slave food, is what the fish and the flesh pots were. It was what was left over after the king got done eating. But that's what they were, their mind was stuck on.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep one eye on yesterday and one eye on tomorrow, how can you see today? It's a good word, John. It's a good word. Moving right along. Now, I better say one more thing here. If you're a preacher, suffer divorce, I'll help you. My email address is right there. There. The last thing God wants any preacher to be doing is hiding in shame. He took the shame. You may have sinned every wicked sin there was in the church in front of everybody. He may never put you in that position again, but he needs your voice.
He needs you, yes.
And there's a place for you to serve in his kingdom, but you can't live in that wickedness that happened back there. You got to get up and get moving. Don't run from God. Run to him.
Amen.
Amen. Call me. I'll help you. Have we said enough yet? It's time to move on.
Well, love you, Sunday. She's on YouTube now.
Yeah, I see that. She goes over there because the YouTubers don't bounce her out. It's interesting. 9, 8.
11.
7. Joshua circumcised his sons. We already did that. Let's get out of there. And then they finished and all the people stayed. All right. This day rolled away the reproach. All right. 11. Sister Leanne was right again. I know, John. I married way above myself. I understand. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover. Unleavened bread and parched grain on that same day. Where did they get it?
In the land.
Where did they stop and grow a field?
It's already there for them.
For 3 million people. Things that make you say, 12. Then the manna ceased. If you don't take the next piece of land, you're going to go hungry. Because God would have been feeding them all them 40 years of wandering.
Mm-hmm.
Manna. Did you think there was ever a day when they said, oh, for some more manna to fall?
I do think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Interesting thought, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Verse 12. Children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite of him. I heard a man preach this one time and said what he did, he'd gone out of the camp of Israel up on a bluff so he could see the city. When he got up there, there's a man standing there with a sword drawn. Notice that it says his sword drawn in his hand, and both of those hises are capitalized.
Yeah.
So who was this with a sword in his hand except Jesus himself? And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries?
It's a legitimate question.
It's a legitimate question. And what you got to see about Joshua, he wasn't afraid of anything. He's going to go deal with that spirit. No, But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. That's Jesus. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Maybe we know that song good enough. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. Nope, don't know it.
No, that wasn't
the na, 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 na. Anyways. Ask God every day to manifest himself in your house. And then clean your house so he can get there. Because it's an experience you'll never forget and you'll long for every day. Honestly, in our pre-session worship tonight, presence of God was in this place. You got to come join us. Chapter 6, we made it. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Jericho, you ever hear that one? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. No idea what that is.
Chapin, Harry Chapin.
Here we go. Chapter 6. I can read chapter 6, Rebecca. Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. That king said, walls are good. We're not like the Americans. We believe in walls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Lord said to Joshua, see. You notice that that is a one-word command with an exclamation point? One-word sentence. See. He's telling Joshua, I want you to see this. But you know what he's going to see? The battle plan and the victory before he ever gets there, because God's going to paint him the picture. That's what he's doing for every one of us. So you know what?
Hallelujah.
You got to shut this down, because you can't see the battle plan and the victory. You got your eyes and your nose stuck in Facebook, Instagram, or any rest of it. Did you notice Joshua wasn't standing out by the cell tower when Jesus showed up? All right, verse 3. So he paints him the picture. You shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. Hallelujah, glory be to God. Amen, Sunday. Verse 4. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Did you notice that Joshua didn't do this at every city?
Right.
Just this one.
Right.
Sister Phyllis. Watch this. Good evening, Sister Phyllis. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome, Phyllis.
Good to see you here.
So good to see you here.
Good to see you, too.
We are on Joshua chapter 6, verse number 4. The 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. All right. And it'll come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Well, This wasn't what Joshua did in the first battle he fought. He got men, he got swords, and they were all slaves. They weren't even trained warriors. And he went in and fought a battle where they literally had to swing the sword and kill people to overcome that first battle that God sent them into. And then they won. But God is saying, this victory is not going to be from you. It's going to be from me. I'm going to bring this victory for you. Why? Because you humble yourself, you've prayed, you've been diligent, and now because you listen to me and are willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. One of the things that we face in this day more than any other day has ever seen it is the rebelliousness of people against God, because there you can go on Facebook and find, you know, another 100,000 people that are rebellious just like you, and they'll tell you exactly that everything you're doing is right and God doesn't care. And it just isn't the truth. If you're rebelling in your heart, you're rebelling in your heart. So stop. Don't do that. Keep reading. Verse 6, Joshua 6, 6. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. Verse 8, and so it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord advanced, blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. Now you got to remember, these guys up on top of that wall, they're watching, and they see him come marching up, and the soldiers got their bows and arrows, but they're not in a fighting position. They didn't set the battle in array, as it would say in the book of Samuel. They're like, you know, the king's like, what are they doing? What are they doing? How are they going to destroy us? Our hearts are filled with fear. How is it that they're going to destroy us? Because when you listen to what Rahab said, our hearts are filled with fear. There's no hope left within us. We know that your God is going to deliver us into your hands. And that king is standing on top of that wall watching this army come. So the first day they march around the city, and they're like, huh, well, thought they'd come in, didn't you, king? Yeah, I did, but they didn't. So let's keep reading. I'm in verse number 9. The armed men went before the priest to blow the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. Now, if you think about what Joshua just said to the children of Israel, he just gave them a commandment that was, don't say a word for 7 days, 6 days. Don't say a word. Not any word, Pastor? Nope. What did he just say? Read it. Nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. What is God doing in this situation? The power of life and death is in the tongue. And if they open their mouth and began to speak destructive words to what God had told them was going to happen, they would have lost their victory by the words of their mouth. And so God said to Joshua, tell him, don't say a word. Now, I don't know if you've tried that recently, to live where you don't say a word for 6 days in a row.
Impossible.
Yeah, it would, for some people, it would be impossible. Now, there's other people that would be like, well, I don't say any words anyways. But we need you to Just stop talking because you ain't saying no words. But think about this. They did it.
They did it.
They actually did it. Can you imagine?
I have to have a piece of tape on my mouth.
Yeah, well, okay. Jesus' mighty name, angels of the Lord, bring Sister Phyllis a piece of tape. All right. No. But think about this battle plan from the Jerichoites. Here they come. They watch them come across the river because they're up on top of a hill, a small mountain. The city is built on a small mountain. And they got tall walls. So they can go up and see all of the children of Israel coming. Well, can you imagine? You got a couple million people and they're moving across the desert. Can you imagine how much noise that made?
Oh my goodness.
Just think about the noise of a million population city. Now you and I got trains and planes and buses and cars and trucks and stuff. But wait a minute, even if you didn't have that, a million people is a lot of people.
Oh.
And they weren't in houses, they were living in tents.
Yeah.
So they're making a lot of noise, and all of a sudden the camp goes silent. I mean, let the Bible say what the Bible's saying. You got to realize they're like, on top of that wall, they're like, they just went silent. What's it mean? I don't know. Did somebody say that to us about Zion and Og? They got silent? I don't know. I think they were shouting a big shout on Zion and Og. They got silent on us. What are we going to do? I don't know. Nobody's saying anything. We can't even hear nothing. See, God has a different battle plan for everything there is. I love Lou Engle's story about the, what do you call that? When they put the tape over their mouth? Anyways, God gave a man a dream that those people stand in front of the Supreme Court with their sign saying, revoke Roe versus Wade, that they were to put a piece of tape over their mouth. It's called silent protest or something. Anyways, so they just took a piece of tape and put it over their mouth. What is it saying? Those that have no mouth to speak are saying, listen to us. And the news media took it and spread it all over the world till the National Organization of Women said that's one of the greatest battle plans against us there is right there. They admitted it on national TV. I'm just trying to paint you a picture. God, when God gives us an assignment, he's doing something big in the background you can't see. And if you can just stop motor mouth long enough and open up the ears of your spirit, God will give you a plan and help you overcome things you never even thought could be overcome in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, Pastor. Go. Here we go. Verse number 11. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around at once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seventh priest, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. Can you imagine the wives in the tents saying to the children, shh, shh, shh,
shh. Yeah, that's what I always thought about, was keeping the kids quiet.
No words. And yet, you realize when God gives that assignment, he's going to put an anointing and he's going to help even the kids be quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to really, he really will do that.
Yeah.
And.
Well, and think about it too. Even if the kids do utter a word, they're not the ones that will be speaking against what's going on.
No, right. Kid will be like, did we win, Mom?
Yeah.
It's 15. Came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early in the morning. You know, that's interesting. Does it say how far away they were from Jericho? Doesn't say. Maybe it does. Yeah. Thank you. Can you pass the can you pass? It's all right. Are you ready? Let's see if we can just hold on and read what's here. Came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day, only they marched around the city. On that day only, they marched around the city seven times. Now, you know, by the seventh day, up on the wall, the king's going, well, here they come again. What are we going to do, king? You ain't doing nothing. Don't nobody do nothing. Because look at that. There's a million of them out there in that desert. There ain't no way we can overcome that. Nobody do nothing. And see, now they march around the second time, and they're like, uh-oh, what's this, king? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this is how Sion and Og fell. See, their hearts are filled with fear because they know God has delivered them into the hand of the children of Israel. And on the seventh day, they went around the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. By then, confusion's got to be all the way through the city. And Rahab the harlot has said, you get in my house, and called her brother and her sister and her mom and the dad and everybody. Get in my house. We are not going out of this house. Watch out the window on the wall, because her house was on the wall. Watch out that window, because we're getting ready to see God of heaven do something for us that he's not going to do for anybody else, because we've got the scarlet cord hanging out of our window. Verse 16, seventh time it happened when the priest blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Anybody want to just make a big shout? Hallelujah! I don't know. You might not want to yell in your house because you might scare somebody, but in my house, my animals are all ready for that. They know that's just how I act all the time. So it'll be all right. Now, watch this. 17. The city shall be doomed by the Lord to obstruction, and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now think about what God is getting ready to do right here. He is asking the children of Israel for the tithe. The word of God says the tithe wholly belongs to the Lord. What is the tithe? The first 10%. And what did he ask Joshua? Everything in that city is going to be holy unto me. Let's keep reading. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So God is saying, even though you would normally consider this to be your booty and the spoils of war once you've defeated the enemy, I'm asking you to give this one to me. The tithe belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And remember what Malachi said in Malachi 3? In the Old Testament, he said, you are cursed with a curse. Why? Because you're stealing the tithe. Now, you and I have been redeemed from the curse, and therefore the blessing of God doesn't come on us when we steal the tithe. But God is setting this forth. The first belongs to me. And yield it willingly. Don't steal it. I mean, if you steal God's tithe according to the Old Testament, you had to pay him back 20%. A fifth part. Mm-hmm. not a wise choice financially. Just thought I'd let that settle in. Here we go. First, number 19. All the silver and gold. We already read that. 20. All the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. And the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Now remember, Jericho's on a hill. So if a wall falls on a hill, what's it going to normally do? Fall downhill. When they excavated Jericho, the excavators, it fell uphill. Why? The children of Israel are standing on the outside shouting at the wall there, and their shout made the wall fall in upon itself. Why? Because the enemy will always, the walls of the enemy will always fall on itself and crush it. Always will. If we keep ourselves in the right place in God and we don't get our mouth and our life and our attitude and our arrogance and pride or whatever else out of order and get ourselves in a place we should be. God wants to give every one of us a kind of victory.
Yeah, amen.
But you got to get yourself humbled before the Lord. And you can't look to heaven and say, God, humble me. Because he doesn't humble you. He says, no, you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. You got to do the humbling yourself. I'm preaching really good right now. I know I am.
You are.
Amen, brothers. Amen, Brother Samuel. Keep it up. You're preaching really good. We appreciate it.
Keep it going. Doing good.
I'm in verse 20. With a great shout, and that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey. The edge of the sword. Now, some reason I wrote right in my margin here, don't stop on the isms. Don't utterly destroy the city. Don't just stop on the isms.
Oh.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Lord. That's why you write in your Bible. Joshua had said to two of the men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all their relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had, so she dwells in Israel to this day. Now, not to the day that we are today, but to the day when this was being written by Joshua.
Yeah.
But Rahab is one of David's great-great-grandmothers. She's actually in the lineage of Jesus. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city of Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Can you imagine what they said around that land after this happened? And they're like, the Red Sea parted,
yeah. And
here they come. And don't nobody go attack the women and children that they've left behind, because you know there's some men back there and they're going to take you out if you go over there. You better just leave them alone. Maybe we should run. Let's go to Egypt. Let's go hide. We got to do something. They're coming and they will kill us. Why? Because the fear of God had been placed in their heart by the Red Sea. And then God reminded the whole world, wait, I opened up the Red Sea, and now I'm going to stop the River Jordan in its flood stage. See, to all of them, That was, oh my God, you can't cross the Jordan during flood stage. Tell your relatives, before the floods hit, hey, we'll see you after the flood. But we're not going to cross it at flood stage. And yet God, and all of his glory, that's when he chose it to be a flood. Let's do it right now. And what did it do? It reminded them of 40 years ago. And as soon as Israel crossed over the Red Sea, they went into a battle and they killed Sion and Og. Exact same thing has happened right here. And God has set the children of Israel up. It's a great victory. Now think about it. Joshua had to function in the faith that he had learned through Moses. Right? Because Joshua went up to the top of the mountain just like Moses did. Everywhere that Moses went, Joshua was sure to go. Right?
Yep.
And so Joshua became one of these mighty men of God and truly began to see God do mighty things long before he ever got to the point where he had to lead. He had been trained by Moses to stay in the presence of God. Matter of fact, let's just go look at that. Let me see if I can dig this up. Exodus. Exodus 26. Let's try it. You think I got it? Exodus, nope, 33. But I didn't get the right reference, but when I opened up Exodus, guess where I was at? The exact verse. Thank you, Angel.
Thank you.
I don't know where you are, but I'm giving you a high five. I can feel it. Isn't that something? All day long, I have been seeing numbers like this. I just looked down, 21:12. Wait, watch this. You got to see this. Why? What's it mean, Pastor? It don't mean nothing. I just saw numbers. That's all it means. So I got 21:12. Where did it go? Well, we're not going anywhere. There it is. There it is. So I got 21:12. What in the world are we doing here? There you go. 21:12. And then I got 16:16. And then I got 21:21. And then I got, where's the other one? Maybe I didn't take a picture of it. It was 7280, and then it was 827. Professor, what in the world does it mean? It means that God is continually giving me good numbers. Oh, I didn't take a picture of it. Nope, I didn't. What's the numbers mean? They don't mean anything except that I'm seeing God is doing something amazing and it's saying something to me as I see it. Now, I have to pause for a minute because Sister Leanne and I went to the Chinese restaurant the other day and ate. And Sister Phyllis, look at this plate.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny.
Can you see it? All right.
Yeah.
It's got
pieces of corn on the cob.
Corn on the cob
it
and
was
shrimp.
Was boiled.
Shrimp and boiled potatoes and
crawfish,
and those things in the shell.
Mussels.
This was a Cajun. This is Cajun.
He was like,
yeah.
It was amazing.
I'm going to take a picture of this to show Sister Phyllis.
It was amazing.
Comes back.
I mashed those potatoes in that juice. I'm like, this is Cajun cooking. And it wasn't just boiled in water, you know. This actually had the spices.
Seasoning.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was good. Made your back of your head sweat just a little bit right back here.
Do you have jalapeno peppers or just bell peppers?
I don't think it had peppers. Did it have peppers?
I didn't see any peppers. I don't.
Anyways, I ate two plates in honor of Sister Phyllis's statement of learn how to eat crawfish. I did, and I even took a picture of it.
Good.
Now, we finally made it to Exodus chapter 32, even though we did all of that talking. So, look at this.
33
would be a good place to be.
All right.
33, and it's 7 through, it's 7 through 23, but I'm not going to read all those verses, but that's the whole context.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Sunday, and John, and Roger Oxley, where are you, brother? I miss you.
And Rebecca.
And Phyllis, and Dan. Well, and Sister Leanne, too.
Thank you.
And Noble Roman seems to be beside me. But he didn't bring a pizza with him. That was a good one. You don't used to get them that easy. Here we go, verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. Now, remember,
far.
Exodus 33, we're back at Sinai. And God has commanded Moses, time to move. Just stop for a minute just so that we can let it go in. And he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. If you want to see God face to face, come out here. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out of the tabernacle of meeting, out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he'd gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. These people are seeing this. All right? And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend face to face. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. He'd just stay there. He'd be like, well, you know what? Moses is gone, but I ain't leaving. I'm staying right here. And you know what, guys? This is one of the greatest lessons that you and I got to learn. No matter what, God wants all of us to stay in the presence every time we get a chance to be there.
Amen.
You and I get to create that place every day. You can't create God's presence. You can just create the place where he can come and be with you by your decision to be excellent, be holy, be righteous, be set apart, get in a room, close the door, and say, I'm just here, you and me, all by ourselves. And it doesn't matter. It might be in the morning. It might be in the evening. It might be in the afternoon. It doesn't matter when you do it. But here's what matters is that when God is drawing you out, you're coming out with him. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I'm going to read the rest of this. But watch what happens here. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you also have found grace in my sight. Moses, in the Old Testament, finding grace in the sight of the Lord. Noah found grace. in the eyes of the Lord, and the blessings fell on down. Anyways, therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. God and Moses are going back and forth. These are your people, Moses. No, they are not. They are your people, because my people would never act like this. 14, and he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. There's a promise for you. Grab that promise and live in it every day. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. God wants you to know his presence with you every single day, all day long, everywhere you go and everything you do, and he wants his presence with you. That's so cool. Today, I'm over at my truck. We're putting the DOT numbers and everything on it, getting ready to rock and roll here. And I was walking down the line of trucks just looking how people had the numbers put on. And I got down their ways, and there's this man.
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting there in his truck. I mean, it's not his truck. It's in a really nice Mercedes. And he's one of the Jamaican men. And I stepped up and said something to him. I don't remember what I said, but anyways, he's like, you remember me? I'm like, well, remind me. He said, oh, I'm the guy you ask about a job. I'm like, yeah, I remember you. And he's like, what makes you so bold and confident? This is his question to me. So, well, I know God. You know God. Like, yeah, like, are you like a Muslim? Like, oh, I'm not a Muslim. I know God, the God of heaven. The Bible God. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean, but you know God. And immediately, I literally spent 15 minutes ministering God in his grace to this man. Because I went up and said, you're going to hell. You need to find Jesus. I didn't do that. I mean, we read the verses every night that says some you got to pull with out of the fire. You know, you're pulling some people right out of the fire. They're about ready to go into eternal damnation. You're going to pull them out of the fire. But that wasn't the case of this man. And I had this wonderful talk with him. You know what he brought up? The Constitution of the United States of America and America. You're like, how in the world does he know how to bring up the subject that I love so much and I am very, very schooled in? Why? Because God knows who he is, and I'm going to have the words that's going to make that man walk, help him man walk with God. Not make him, help him walk with God. And it was a blast. Finally, he looks at his watch. He goes, oh, I got to go pick my kids up. I better go. But he said, I'm going to ask you the next time I see you, where is America in the Bible? I want chapter and verse. It's what he said to me. And I was like, all right, you got me on that. I don't know chapter and verse, but it says the young lions. And he's like, it says young lions? I'm like, yep. So he's like, wow. But wait, I didn't practice for that, guys. It flows up out of you. All of you that are here, I would imagine most of you have had an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. And as you begin to speak it, it just flows out of you. You're like, I didn't even know that was even in me. And what is it? It's all of these hours that you and I have spent. You say it.
Well, the ego. Now it has the ego. You have to check that out in Revelations.
Yeah. Yeah. Phyllis, are you eating crawfish?
No, I stole some, pork skins, fried pork skins.
Oh,
fried pork skins. Yeah, I'm not supposed to be eating that, calories and all.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's good for you.
It is.
It's not sugar.
Especially if it's seasoned just right.
Just right, yeah.
Amen. Glory be to God. I'm coming for a crawfish dinner. I am coming, so you got to get it ready.
Right after Easter, they're very plentiful.
Yeah. Somebody's got to show me how to eat a crawfish because their legs and their shell, they don't taste good.
It's very easy. Very easy.
Yeah. That's what they said about chopsticks, too. And I went on a diet when I tried to use chopsticks.
You just go see the point of those when there's a fork nearby.
How can you eat chopsticks? How can you use chopsticks on a bowl of soup?
They
pick the bowl up and sip, don't they? Does anybody know where we are? I'm right in the middle of teaching a really good message. All right. Let's go back to 13, see if we can find ourselves back in the message where we was at. Therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, that I may know you. Moses said it in the Old Testament, that I might know you. That is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. All right. It's the same Holy Spirit. That's why you get to find it in the New Testament and the Old. It's the same writer of the Word of God. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us?
Good point.
So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the pond, Jeez. Have you been on the pond lately? All right. For all the people upon the face of the earth. Watch this. Hold your finger there and go to Deuteronomy 28. And look what God said. Deuteronomy 28:1. Shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 28:1. Observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Same Moses, same God, but now the promise comes to you and me. God wants to set you and me above all the nations of the earth. Yes, he does.
Amen.
But you can't act like you're broke, busted, and disgusted and then have God set you high above all the nations of the earth. If you're going to be a peculiar people to God, then you got to let him make you a peculiar people. You got to let him set you high above. And not out of arrogance, not out of exaltation, but realize, why would God not want to bless? No. God wants to bless children just like you and I want to bless our children.
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. If you had the opportunity to give your children a new car, would you do it?
Yes.
Yes, I would, and so would God. I already know what kind of vehicle I'm going to buy them because it's in my heart to do that for my children. They're going to call me tonight, hey, Dad.
Yeah, about that car.
About that car. Were you being serious or what's going on here? Right. 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing for you, which you've spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And Moses said, well, what a way to die.
Yeah, no kidding.
And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on that rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I'll take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Some pretty serious instructions. Mm-hmm. Now you can see that when this is going on, 12 to 23, Moses is up on the mountain with God when this is happening. And when you go back here to Moses, I mean, Exodus chapter 32, situation, and Moses is up on the mountain and he was coming down with the Ten Commandments. And when on the way down, he's like, Joshua's like, hey, there's noise in the camp. Remember, there's that camp. I mean, no, there's going to be some noise.
Yeah.
Just the daily busy thoroughfare of the children of Israel.
Of 6 million.
There's going to be some noise. And he said, it's the noise of war. And Moses said, oh, no, it's not. That's the noise of partying. The children of Israel have gone astray. And they've gone into sin. Moses said it. You can read it right there. And so then God broke out against the camp. People died, and Aaron was judged, and the golden calf was beaten into a powder and then served to the people so they would eat it. With God, build you a place, build you a way, build you a process. Build the understanding in your heart and in your mind of I am going to be alone with God. And I'm going to learn to do it night and day wherever I go so that a moment's notice I can be in the presence of God the Father and say, Father, what about this? Why? Because he lives in here. He's not way out there. I met a man one time. He said, Pastor, you keep speaking in tongues just at will. You can't do that. I'm like, I can't. Why? He said, because it takes praise and worship to get that to be able to be worked up where the Holy Spirit could actually use you to speak in tongues. I'm like, isn't it something that when praise and worship is needed on Tuesday, all y'all ain't with me? Because the prayer language of the Spirit is not just for while you're in church. It's for when you need the power of God present on scene. And then that language comes out. And remember what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, says, you and I will speak the hidden wisdom of God ordained for our glory. That wisdom will produce glory in our life, and people will be like, look at you guys. Why? Not you and me. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, of whom the world was not worthy. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 real quick, and we'll speak these verses real quick. Hebrews chapter 11, and go with me to verse number 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God said to Joshua, see, I have given you the city. But he didn't say it to him while he was giving him the city. The city was already his. It was already done. And God painted him the picture and said, now see it. Because if you see it and you build it, you can have it.
Yeah.
You can have it. Speak it. Declare it. Write it out. Record it. Put pictures up. Why? We got them all over in here.
Yeah, that power of the imagination.
The power of the imagination. Say it again. Say it again. You can't get off that easy.
Visions are daydreams and imagination. The power of the imagination. Once you see it, yeah, you can create it.
Once you see it and the revelation hits you down in here, mm-hmm. Not up here. This, your eyes observe the circumstances. But once you see it in here, then it's going to manifest out here. because thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. And he wants to do big things. What's that song they sing at Dr. Winston? I'm expecting great things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. Things. And then the choir joins in. And the harmony kicks in. And then your hair stands on end and you're like, woo, Jesus is in this place. There was a time in my life when I said, oh, Lord, someday, if you can just show me the manifestation of your kingdom and the blessing of tithing and seed time and harvest and studying the word. But we're here.
Did you ever come to the understanding that the kingdom of God is within you?
Within you.
Amen.
It's within you.
A lot of people expect to see things different to the extent that it's a whole new world out there already. And there are certain things that happen that you know. This is what the Bible talks about, the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Like, not long ago, someone said that there was a female cat that had lost her litter of cats, and so she had lots of milk, and the kittens just sucked the milk, and she was all bloated and painful and everything. This chicken had died, and she had all these little bitties that had hatched. And they didn't have a mama bird to feed them, whatever. And so the kitten bundled those biddies up and let them suck on her teats and get that milk out of her. And they got their nourishment that way. And you think to yourself, I've seen cats kill birds.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And you know, all the things that show that God's love and mercy is just amazing.
Amen.
Anyway, I'm going to shut up. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to butt in.
The kingdom of heaven is within us. But see, that's what this is all about. And I truly believe that one of the greatest assignments that God has given to us here is that we help people realize this ain't a religion. This ain't a denomination. This ain't about a church. We are a church. We do love God. We are part of Christianity. I'm not a part of a denomination. I definitely have. I'm a part of an organization. You just found God Almighty. And his kingdom, as the Bible says, as Sister Phyllis has said, according to the word of God, his kingdom is within you. Now, some of you, that's just huge. You're like, how can the kingdom of God be in you? Well, Jesus said, it's not out there.
Right.
Kingdom is in here. Why? Because the king is in here. And his father is in here. And the Spirit of God is in here. Now, I know to some of you, you're like, I just don't get that, Pastor. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. I agree. Amen. God lives within you.
How else could we be kings and priests unto all?
Amen.
Jesus has made us kings and priests unto his Father. Unto God.
Yeah, how can we?
It's supposed to be a sanctuary for God's people. How else could we do that without being filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, now, you're doing real good at preaching. I'm going to shut up.
And the Lord said,
I'm going to try to shut up.
And the Lord said, nobody say anything for 6 days. Ooh. I'm going to have to go on a walkabout out in the wilderness because otherwise I'm going to be a talking. But anyways, thank God that his kingdom. Well, look at what Jesus said. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. In one translation, actually says in earth. In.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember, you're earth.
You're dirt.
Yeah, you're dirt. Thy kingdom come in earth. We have this treasure in an earthly vessel. I heard a man this morning talking about the day that God created Adam. Can you imagine? He's got this man. He's created him. Who knows? He maybe had him standing up in front of him, looking him eye to eye. May have had him laying on the ground. No, you don't know who God, what God did, but we do know this. It was pretty amazing, whatever it was that God did. And then he breathed into Adam the breath of life. And you got to know that Adam's first sight was God's face.
Yeah.
Had to be. Because God breathed into him the breath of life. And then man became a living being. And his flesh became human. And Adam's looking God right in the eyes. And God's like, how you doing? And Adam's like, hi. And, you know, think about what the conversation was.
We worship the Lord and learn from the Bible. Amen, Sunday.
And God wants you and I to have this deep understanding. He wants us to be one with him. He's not wanting to come down here and be one with us in our mess.
No.
He wants us to come up and be seated together with him in heavenly places. Christ Jesus. Well, you ready? Thank you, John. The Bible says the eagle will fly high above the bear in a last day's war in Revelation. See, I think it's in Ezekiel. We'll find it. Let's pray. Father, for Hebrews chapter 11, that shows us men and women of old didn't hesitate. They just went on in and did what you said to do. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that Noah built the ark and saved humanity. Thank you for Job and his friends and what a powerful book it is. Abraham accepting the promise of your blessing in his life, children of Israel, your blessing on them as it came out. All through history, you just wanted to ship with you and choose you over our enemy. And we do, Father. We choose you every single day. Every single day, we choose you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. The kingdom of God is inside of us. Just like the book of Acts says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Thank you for every person that's with us tonight. Thank you for every person that will come and be a part of this video. May the revelation of Almighty God flow from beginning to end. May they see you and may they know it and they walk in it. In Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. And besides that, amen. Now it's time to receive communion. For those of you that's never been with us before, we do this every night. And we welcome you to receive communion with us. Now, you might be like, well, Pastor, I'm not a part of your church, so how do I receive communion with you? Well, that is not in the Bible. That's just in the church denominations. So watch this. I'm going to share my screen. And right on our website for the community of faith, it's called samuelzcottle.com/communion. You can literally go here and receive communion every day. And it's written right here on this page for you to see. How amazing is that?
Awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes, it is.
So you don't even have to wonder. You're like, well, there it is right there in front of you. And the other day, the Holy Spirit is like, open up the website and show them. Show them. It's our homepage right here. Got some program links back here when we really had some things. There were some things happening right then. It's good. Here's a story about me. Here's our contact us page. Here's if you're going to tithe or sow seeds, communion. Here's some confessions, prayers, and meditations. So you can open up and pray right here on the website. Let's go back to the communion. Now, I don't have the verses in here. And I said the last time I did this, I'm going to put those verses in. And I didn't get it done quietly. But we'll get this done. Because you might say, well, Pastor, I don't even know anything about it. I know. But if you come here and read this, you could literally lead your family right in it, led by a man of God, a pastor. Could be you literally can read it right there off the page. Now wait, you've received communion in your church before and may not have understood everything, but they still let you take communion whether you understood it or not. Why? Anytime the body of Christ is broken and you're in the building, you're supposed to be able to take advantage of it. It's not about membership. It's about you're a part of the body of Christ. So, here we go. This is what we're going to do. We're going to read the communion verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, or 28, and then verse 31, and then we'll pray the prayer of salvation. Prayer of salvation, isn't there? As is usually the case, I have had the prayer of salvation put together many times to put here. And somehow it must not have ever got to Sister Elisa Craig. Mm-hmm. But it'll be all right. We'll get it in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. We'll come back to this in just a minute. But I want you to be able to read it right off the website. And you can see that it'll be a simple process for you to go to the website, click on communion, and there it is for you every single day. I recommend you take communion in your home every day. Every day. Here we go.
Amen.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That means until he comes back to get us. All right? 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus makes us white as snow, purges our sins, and then turns us into a new creation, minister of reconciliation, ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, kings and priests of God. You're the ecclesia, the body. Because there is no fear in love. You don't run from God, you run to him. You don't run from communion, you run to it. Jesus' broken body and his bloodshed was why the Father did it, because that's where the power to forgive, cleanse, and heal comes from. It's right there out of that. Pray the prayer of salvation with me. No matter who you are, if you mean this prayer from the depths of your heart, like on the inside, you're like, I'm saying this. I'm praying this. Jesus changed my life. If you mean this, in 2 minutes, your life will be changed. Now, if you're just saying words, don't mean it. Because this literally transforms every part of your life from this day forward. Because God comes to live within. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you, Jesus.
When I believe in you,
you will give me everlasting life.
You will give me everlasting life.
So Jesus, here's my faith statement.
So Jesus, here's my faith statement.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart, and I speak with my mouth
that you are the only begotten Son of God.
That you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life.
Jesus, I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life. With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And welcome to the family of God. Go ahead. You guys can say it too.
Welcome to the family of God.
Welcome to the greatest family you've ever been a part of. Our Father is the King of all kings. He is sitting on the throne. He's never lost one ounce, one iota of power ever. He's never lost anything because he's not a loser. He is God Almighty. He is truth itself, and he doesn't lose. And he has said, I will come and dwell among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my own special people. And he's going to come. He has just come and lived on the inside of you. You're probably experiencing it right now, like, man, something's going on the inside of you. Yeah, you just said, fill me with God and take away all the bad. So as soon as Jesus comes in, he wipes away all your sin. It's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. He will never remember your sins against you, not another day. They're
Hallelujah.
Just gone. Quit worrying about what you used to be and how bad it was. It's gone. It's wiped away forever in Jesus' mighty name. Welcome to the family. What do I do now, Pastor? Get your Bible right here. It's like this one. I use the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Brother Roger got one the other day, and he says he loves it. It's a powerful, powerful tool. Called the Thompson Chain Reference. That's the one I use. You don't have to buy it, but I like it because it has so many Bible study aids, not denominational instruction, Bible study aids to teach you how to study the Bible. And I even made a video and put it on YouTube the other day about it. And it was good. I said, I'm going to make this short video, and it was 27 minutes long.
Well, that's short for you.
I was thinking 5 minutes, and really in 5 minutes you get the gist of it, but then I led us through a study following the chain reference so people could see how to do it. Anyways, it'll be a blessing to you. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Join with us. Now watch this about God. The Bible says study to show your, excuse me,
self-approved.
You're self-approved unto God. Not to me. Not to somebody else in the church. You study to show yourself approved. Now this is amazing. It doesn't matter where we're at or what we're teaching. God's going to make it applicable to your life every time you come here with us.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, Pastor, I don't understand a word you're saying. It don't matter. Just come, show up, and by faith receive. Why? Because by doing that, you're going to be able to be connected right where we're at. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one leading me. This is what I like about God. I'll get done with a message and somebody say, Pastor, you was preaching about this and that was transforming my life. And they're like, I didn't say nothing about that all night long. And they're like, well, yes, you did. And then I did it with Dr. Merkel one time. And he's like, I didn't preach about that. I'm like, yes, you did. No, I didn't. Well, go get the tape. This is what he said. Go get the tape. So I went and got the tape. And he was right. He didn't preach about that at all. Well, Pastor, how in the world did you hear it? Because the Holy Spirit of God
Yes.
took what he was saying, a mouth as an oracle of God, and as it came out, God changed those words to exactly what that person needed to hear and what I needed to hear. It's how he is. We welcome you. Just join with us. We're here every night. 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Pacific, and all y'all that's around the world, thanks for joining in. We're glad you joined with us whenever you can. In Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Let's receive our communion elements together. We'll lift them up and bless them. Pray this with me. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to bless the elements because your words of blessing over your elements are the most powerful force. So we're setting this apart from everything else that's in your house. Then we're going to give you verses of scripture and a prayer about the broken body and then about the blood of Jesus. And we're going to end up, if you listen to it again, you're going to get a really good instruction about the body of Christ being broken and the blood of Jesus by the design of the Holy Spirit every time we do this. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus,
Father, in the name of Jesus,
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
So I can bless these elements.
So I can bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, in my body, just like the Bible says.
In my spirit, in my soul, in my body, just like the Bible says.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's
nothing missing, nothing broken.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying.
Every organ is functioning properly.
From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community. And right here in this community of faith. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your body was broken and your blood was shed. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
Bought back from the life of sin. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
And I am now a minister of reconciliation. By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
All things have passed away and all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over my life.
And life is infused in every part of my body. And there's not one feeble one amongst us.
And there's not one feeble one amongst us.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his bloodshed. Hallelujah. Now, I want to turn on Sister Crystal Gale, let her sing that song we were singing earlier right now. But you know what? It just hit me. We've never tried to get permission to play one of her songs at the end of the program, and she might just do it.
Yeah.
It'll always come down to whether or not the copywriting situation works right. But
right.
Amen. Well, we might as well sing our song that we have. play the same.
Which one?
Which one? I don't know that one. Let's sing Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Pastor, I want some drums and guitars and keyboard. So do I. And I saw the studio tonight, and it was in there.
Hallelujah. I'm excited that there were people there to run the equipment.
And it was in there. It was in there. So all y'all keep speaking it with us. I will be done on earth. See it come to pass. Well, that's not all we have to say, but that is all we're going to say tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, Sister Phyllis, you got our closing verses?
Oh, yes, absolutely. But you, this is Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
And amen.
Revelation 1, 5, and 6, I love this. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
And amen.
And
amen.
Before you go on to read something else, I really would like to go to Revelation 4 and read that portion about the Americans, the eagles.
All right.
Is that okay?
Yeah, wait. You got to give me the reference. You can't just read it.
I said Revelation 4, 7 through 11.
Good.
Yeah. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day or night. They were saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created."
And there it
I
is.
Love it.
Like a
I
flying
love the
eagle.
Awesome, majestic word of God. Thank you for letting me read it.
Okay, so we'll sit here and read the Bible all night. So real quick, Job chapter 33, I'm going to speak these words over you again. For God may speak in one way or another, and man not perceive it. That is very much possible. Why? Because you've been trained in religion or whatever. You've just been just plain old sinner. Don't matter. Verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night when deep sleep falls upon man. While he's slumbering on his bed, then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. God does it.
Thank you, Lord.
In order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. Keep you out of pride. Pride's the number one thing that causes any Christian to ever fall. Pride. Keep back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Right now, tonight, while you're sleeping, I'm speaking, you're going to be a dreaming. Ready? Hold your hands out and say, we claim every person.
We claim every person.
Who will ever hear this video.
Who will ever hear this video.
For the kingdom of God.
For the kingdom of God.
We command you in Jesus' name.
We command you in Jesus' name.
Come to Jesus today. And receive his wonderful love, mercy, and grace.
And receive his wonderful love, mercy, and grace.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus.
Hold your hands up and say, I receive my hundredfold.
I receive my hundredfold.
That you have designed for me. According to Mark 10:29-30.
According to Mark 10:29-30.
Help us preach the gospel.
Help us preach the gospel.
Right here, right now, in Jesus' mighty name.
Right here, right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Please send us an email. Let us know where you're listening to, watching us, whatever it is you're doing. I mean, even Blog Talk Radio. HG, like Holy Ghost, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you wherever you are around the world. Somebody told me that something the other day about somebody who's listening around. Well, we know Okalarchi's with us.
Oh, yeah.
And she is from
Denmark
or Sweden, one of the two. Anyways, glad you're with us. Share it with all your friends wherever you are. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this?
We love you.
We do love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus.
And Jesus is Lord.
Love you, John. Love you, Sunday.
Rebecca.
Wayner.
Love you. Yep.
Audrey Van Gessel. Love you. Rebecca.
God bless all of you.
Sister Phyllis. Brother Dan and Sister Gwen. Love y'all. All y'all on COF that we haven't seen in a while. All y'all get your hind ends over here and get in church. Most of all, we all have an open, willing, growing, developing spirit in the things of God.
A teachable spirit
in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
See you soon.
God bless you. Sleep, everyone.
Phyllis, Dan, we love you guys. See you soon. No, wait. Phyllis, Dan, and Gwen. He's home.
Oh, is he home?
Yeah. Love you guys. End the episode.
Seven thumbs up with tonight on YouTube that I can see.